If you've got a Bible, could you turn, please, to John chapter 1? And it's up there, actually. We're just going to read these extraordinary verses that talk about Jesus being sent into being in our midst, about Jesus who was in heaven coming down and actually living amongst us. So John chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, it says this: "The true light, which gives light to everybody, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own, but his own people didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh," that's Jesus. "He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." I listened to a clip from a guy called John Piper, and he said this. I don't know if it's up there. Virtually everything I do in my life, every meeting I have, every time I speak with somebody, every time I visit somebody, I have one main goal. I want to awaken affections for God that they might be satisfied in him. And there's this whole thing of when Jesus said, like, come and drink from me. Come and drink from me. And I love this because he was saying, everything I do, whenever I go anywhere, anytime I have it, I just want to find somebody and I can awaken a desire for God in their life. You know, when we had this, we started this 34 hours of prayer and with an encounter night. And it was a slightly different encounter night than we've ever done before. We started worshipping at 8 o'clock and we finished at 11:30. So some people came at the beginning, some people came at the end, some people came halfway through, some people stayed the whole way through. Like, at the end, I said to Salmon, who was playing the cajon, I said, "Oh, how are your hands, mate, 3.5 hours? And he said, I don't know, can't feel them. Don't know what's going on with my hands. They're like..." And then there's this band and they were just playing for 3.5 hours. And I thought, I could have gone on for another 3.5 hours. But normally at worship, I'm just thinking, well, to be honest, it's 35 minutes. We do need to be moving on. We've got lives to lead. We've got things to do. And I just thought, oh, but it came from this place of, no, we're hungry, hungry for God. And it just like Hastings was on the piano. Where's Hastings? Oh, there you go. Hastings was on the piano like he was. And just like, and then Andy was singing and Leona was on the violin and Carla was playing guitar. Salmon was on cajon and Jerry Katoris was on guitar. And I just thought, and then Becca was singing and just like song after song after song. And it just said, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. It was a moment I thought, okay, more and more, I just think I found myself being satisfied in the Lord. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up now, but it will almost be quite fun. Don't do it. Don't do it. This is a rhetorical question. Hands up if you feel spiritually dry. Don't do it. But I suspect that quite a few of us would say, well, to be honest, yeah, I do feel a little bit dry at the moment. You know, and sometimes you might come to church and you might go away from church. You think, why did I do that? What was the point? Or sometimes you might think, well, I'm reading my Bible and it's just like words. I might as well be reading my news app. I'm not getting anything from the Lord. And sometimes the danger is that you have two choices. You think, okay, well, just blow it. I won't do anything. Or sometimes you think, well, do you know what? I'm going to sign up for every hour in the prayer room. I'm going to come to church really early. I'm going to be here before the start. That would be good. No, I'm going to come and I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to sort of like read my Bible again and again. I'm going to read my Bible for hours every day. And can I just say to you, do not do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. Just come to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Just come to Jesus. And if you're spiritually dry, do not think, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do it. It's nonsense. You won't get anywhere. Just come to Jesus. Come before Jesus. Confess your sin and say, I need you. I need you. More than anything else. You know, there's one point in the prayer room, and we got this big wooden cross and all these like bean bags. Thank you very much. Can't find the word. All these bean bags. And I did the 3 till 4 session in the morning, okay? Because I thought nobody else is going to choose 3 till 4 in the morning. Every time, that's my, nobody else can book that ever. When we do it again, I'm having that all the time. The hour, it's never gone so quickly in my life. I went into that room and I saw this cross and all these bean bags and I just knelt before it. It was it. That was like almost all I did. I just knelt like literally at the foot of the cross. I said, Jesus, I need you. It's extraordinary. And so what we're going to do is, like, we're starting this series about being sent to the city. But it all comes from this place of, not. We just need Jesus. And do you know what? Our city needs Jesus. You can put your hand, this is not a rhetorical question, this is a real question. Hands up if you like living in London or the surrounding areas. I'm looking. We have this extraordinary privilege to live here. We might think, oh, I don't really like it. But it's an amazing privilege to live in. This is an extraordinary city. People would almost, you know, would give anything to live in London. And yet we live in here, we think, oh, we take it for granted. No, we live in an extraordinary, buzzy, energetic, fast-paced city. Has it got problems? Has it got issues? Yes, it has, yeah. It's quite difficult. Is it easy to buy houses? No, it's not. Is it housing expensive? Yes, it is. But we live in this extraordinary city. And I want to live my life in a way that awakens an affection for Jesus amongst my friends and my neighbours. Okay, so here we go. My first point is this. Before we can feel that we were sent anywhere, we must know this. That Jesus was sent to us. It's a theological principle about the whole issue of sentness. It's called the incarnation. God coming, Jesus coming and living within us. Those verses that we looked at from John 1. I don't know if I've got... those are the verses that I've highlighted. He was coming into the world. He came to his own people. The world became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. You know, God loves community. Did you know that? How do we know that? Oh, well done. Oh, very good. That's why she's married. We know that God loves community. We know that God loves connecting because it was right there in the very, very beginning in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were having a blast. They loved it. It was a really good relationship. It clearly talked about in the Bible, about the they were living and loving together. They enjoyed each other's company. And then, do you know what they said? Do you know this is so good? We're going to invite other people in. We're going to invite other people to come and enjoy this fellowship with us. But do you know what? Sin came and spoiled the party. Sin spoiled the party. He wanted us to be with him. He wanted all of us to be just totally delighting in him. But sin spoiled the party. And so God had a plan. He sent his son, Jesus, to be born as a human being, grew up, suffered, died, and was resurrected. But he had to come and he had to identify with us. It would have been nice if he could have done a little bit of working from home. From heaven, I'll sort it all out. I'll dial in remotely and we'll have a meeting. And I don't know what's going on other than that. But no, work from home, sort out a plan of salvation. He didn't do it. He came down. He humbled himself. He was born as a child. He lived. He came into our mess. He didn't have to. But it was what he chose to do. It was the plan of salvation for us. And so what happened is that Jesus was sent to us. And now, guess what? And now Jesus said, well, as I have been sent, so I am sending you, Pauline. I'm sending you. Now, I just need to know, when we're doing our lives now and when we're, you know, doing our jobs and all these things, how much of a set of this feeling of being sent do we have over our lives? Is it something that we feel, oh yeah, I do feel I am really like sent. I've a calling to go into my workplace and into my community. But every single one of us is sent into the city. Now, last week, Jill, the team of us were in prison, so doing the chapel service, and Jill was preaching, and she finished the service on Mark, and she did an amazing thing about like the Great Commission being sent, and it just ties in with this whole sense of, no, we are being sent into the city. We're not just called to do our little lives and make the best of it as we can. We're called into the city. And Jill mentioned this radio program that we listened to, which I really, really loved. And it was this, that there are four times as many, it was a Radio 4 program called Beyond Belief, four times as many people in France, adults getting baptized as there were, I think it was like 10 years ago, something like that. This massive explosion of people being baptized in France. Why is that happening? Because God is on the move and God is calling many people in France that sense of being sent to display something of God's goodness to their unbelieving friends. Yesterday, really interesting, I had a text from a friend, haven't spoken to him for probably 18 months. And I don't actually know him all that well, to be honest. We spent a few Saturdays together doing a few things, and you know, I don't know him all that well, but he just said, oh, can I have a chat? And in the end, he just wanted to talk about like relationships. How do you do relationships? And then at the end, he said, oh, Duncan, I think you're one of the wisest people I know. Now, and I missed something. I wasn't really thinking, but I need to go back to him this afternoon. And I just say to him, you just need to know this. I am not the wisest person I know. But I do know somebody who is. And Jesus has changed my life and changed my thinking. And I don't think he's got any connection with like the church or Christianity at all. But I just thinking, what can I do in that situation to awaken a desire for the Lord Jesus in that guy's life as he's trying to work out the complexity of how to do relationships? Jesus came to us, was sent to us, and we are being sent. We're going to pray that actually we would have this sense of being sent and commissioned out. Not just anywhere, but out into the city. Tim Keller, I don't know if you know him, is a guy, he's written a book called Center Church. And he just talks about loving the city. He said cities are actually really, really important places for us to engage with. We need to learn to love London. We need to live in a countercultural way. And we need to be committed to making London flourish. Doing whatever we can. So whatever we can, we need to be committed to making London flourish. And I think we've said for a long time that we want to make Barnet a better place to live and work. We want to seek the welfare of the city. And we don't want to be the best church in Barnet, but we want to be the best church for Barnet. We want to seek the welfare of the city. But when we're sent, what do? We're sent into the city to love the city, to transform the city, but we are sent to share the gospel. Do you know, it's not just about being kind and good. Has anybody ever said to you, to be honest, I'm not actually all that religious, but I think I'm quite a good person. Has anyone ever said that to you? People say it all the time. I'm not religious, I don't want to do that whole church thing, but I'm a good person, and that is what really counts. That's the most important thing. And I suppose I just want to ask you the question, is it? Is that the most important thing? Okay, imagine this situation. Older lady, widow, got one son. One son. She says to her son, she's a widow. She says to her son, look, I want you to live in a certain way. I want you to tell the truth. I want you to work hard. And I want to help people that aren't so fortunate. Work hard, tell the truth, and help people that aren't so fortunate. She doesn't have a lot of money. So what she does, her son wants to go off to university. He manages to get into a really good university. She pays for all of it. She pays for his education. And then guess what? He comes out of university. He gets a really good, well-paid job. He's made it. But do you know what? He sends a text to his mum at Christmas, but he doesn't answer her phone calls. Doesn't really engage with her, and he's not actually all that bothered with what's going on in her life. But do you know what? He tells the truth, he works hard, and he gives to charity. Is that the most important thing? No, it's not. He might be doing some stuff, but he's the person that he owes everything to, that is longing for a relationship. And it's exactly the same. You know, we have to go and tell the truth. And sometimes people say, look, go and preach the gospel. And if you really have to, use words. You know, it's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but he never said it because it's nonsense. That's not what happened in the Bible. In the Bible, they explained the gospel and they explained the truth and they introduced people to Jesus. When I was little, I used to watch television with my dad. And I'm sort of like projecting this onto my dad, but it may well be some of my kids here today. So they maybe I'll say it was me. When we'd watch television, blah, 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 all these programs, yeah. Then the news would come on, okay. As kids, we would then go, wah, 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 wah. My dad would get really angry. And he'd say, look, shut up. This is the one program I want to watch. I want to watch the news. Can you just be quiet for a little bit? Please? Okay. And it felt like sometimes that watching the news was the really important thing. Just watching it. And that's not a bad thing because you want to. But I think it's not just watching. Surely the most important thing is to watch the news and then live your life differently. And what I'm trying to say is this, that sometimes we think just hearing the gospel is enough. It's not. The gospel is, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is to hear the gospel and guess what? Come and surrender everything to Jesus. To live our lives differently because Jesus has been at work in our lives. Martin Luther said this, that the primary question that he would always ask was, how can a weak, perverse, and guilty sinner find a gracious God? How can a weak, sinful, where is it? How can a weak, perverse, guilty sinner find a gracious God? We have to go and speak the gospel. We have to go and speak some truth. And we have to say to people, no, we're trusting in Jesus. He is the one that has made the difference. He is the one that has brought us freedom from condemnation. But, so we're sent into the city, this amazing city, to share the gospel and to do it thoughtfully. Do you ever feel under pressure living in London? Put your hands up if you feel under pressure living in London. Ooh, five of us. What's it like to live in the city? Like, that cost of housing is high, isn't it? It means, therefore, that everybody is working like mad. What does it mean to be a Christian in the city? What are the particular issues that you are facing in your workplace? I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were thinking about contracts, work contracts for a roofing company. How do you deal with it when actually you've got other people who are dealing with contracts that are just like, they're not being totally truthful? What are some of the pressures that you are facing in your workplace? How do Gen Z people cope with living in London? How do they do it? How can you get enough jobs? How can you earn enough money to actually afford to live, find a place to live? How can the old cope in Graham Park? So when we opened up the shutter on the spa, on Graham, I mean, the thing is, you cannot move on Graham Park for people stopping and talking to you. It's impossible. You know, we can't work on the outside of that building if we've got a deadline. Because as soon as you do start doing anything, somebody walk past and say, oh, hello, what are you doing? Oh, well, we're just doing this. All right, great, thanks very much, yeah. And then, I mean, it happened just, I think there were probably 4 different people, and we were only outside for like a really short period of time. And they just, and one guy said, oh, yeah, it's great you're doing that. I'm just really lonely. Just like out of nowhere. Imagine if we made the effort to go and talk to people. We were trying to, they were actually quite annoying because we were trying to do stuff. But imagine if we were actually, but how did the old cope with living in London? What does it mean to live in London as an immigrant? What are the pressures on there? What are the pressures on asylum seekers living in London at the moment? What is the culture within your workplace that you need to challenge? What are some of the things that go on in your workplace that you think, oh, no, that's not right? What are some of the cultures in your school or in your university that actually you need to challenge? Or what are some of the things in your university or workplace or your or where you go to school that actually you need to affirm? Okay, let's do a little... I'm going to do a very quick test. In a moment, I'm just going to ask you to go and find, talk with 2 people. I mean, maybe I shouldn't. And I will do it, we'll do it. That you think are roughly in the same age group as you. Okay, so don't, like, this is a guarantee to offend somebody, okay? Let's say there's a 20-year bracket, okay? Okay, a 20-year bracket, a grace bracket, roughly the same sort of age-ish. Go and find them and just say to them, what are the challenges for my rough 20-year age bracket of living in London, or if you don't live in London, whatever city you do live in, okay? Just going to do that really quickly. It means you've got to get up. Go and find somebody. No, I'm not your age group. Yeah. Them. It's a great one. Come Okay, just 60 seconds left. okay. Izzo, have you got anything to share from that group? Yeah. Okay, right. Let's come back. Has anybody got anything? Izzo's going to share something briefly from his group. Anybody else got anything that they could just share from their group about particular challenges from their age group? Look, there was an awful lot of chatting going on. He said, why don't you come up and just stop? Yeah, don't tell me that's not what you were chatting about.
Sorry, I didn't say that.
No, I know you weren't, but that's why.
All right, cool. So in our group, we're just talking about the challenges. I think Duncan mentioned a lot of them already, but it's mainly financial. Cost of living is expensive. So like, not even talking about buying, but like renting is super expensive. Bills are super expensive. If at the end of the month you find out that you have money in your account, it doesn't really make sense because that money should be paid for something. So it's mainly financial that we would say that was like the hardship of living in London.
Fantastic, brilliant. Well done, thanks. Anybody else? Come on, look. Come up. Becca, can you come up as well now?
Well, we need a different age bracket.
For us, we talked about connection, just kind of how London can feel isolating. People kind of keep to themselves. You don't help someone. You don't stand aside so people pushing past each other. We don't talk to our neighbours.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. It's really... what we're doing is we're trying to think, well, how... We're not just going to go out, but how does the gospel mean... What does the gospel mean into these situations? We have to try and understand what it means to reach people who've got no connections, who actually are struggling just to pay the rent. Becca? And they'd be great if somebody else...
It'd be great if someone from a different age bracket could come and share. But mine was...
I don't think that's on...
Mine was busyness. Like, I have a lot of friends that live like in South London or East London. It just takes an hour to get there, and in that hour you think I could be so productive with something else, but I've just had to sit on a train. So that's for me.
Fantastic.
We discussed the main one that I sort of stuck out for me was I'm a dad and I got two girls, and it's trying to keep that relationship with your girls, especially when they reach a certain age. So I was just saying it's easy. I was talking to my brother. It's easy when they are small because you got kind of a leash on them. But when they reach a certain age, then you have to make time, and you have got to book appointments, and as well you got to kind of have dates with them, and that's a thing that I find when you're living around. It's a bit different maybe when you're in Africa because you can do things slightly different. But out here, that's and being open to them. So that they can still talk to you. Because as a dad, is that whatever? Can they really talk to you when they've got a problem? And I think those are some of the challenges.
Yeah, brilliant. We're not just asking to identify what we're struggling with, but we're saying, how does the gospel reach people like this? If these are the issues that we're struggling with, how does the gospel break into these areas? Anybody else? Yeah, come on, Pat. Jill, do you want to come after?
Just running the food bank, the pressure when we see a big queue outside that we've got enough food to give out to everybody. We're packing like mad, and there comes a time we look at the clock and it's gone 2 o'clock and we think, oh, we're not going to have enough food. So about 2:15, we have to decide, are we going to be able to feed everybody or not? Sometimes we have to close the gate and say, unfortunately, that's it. So it's a big pressure, the... making sure we've got enough food for everybody.
Brilliant. Thanks, Pat. Thank you. And the issue is, how do you share the gospel with people queuing up at the food bank? We can feed them, and so they're fed for tomorrow, but how do we feed them for eternity? And I know people, you know, Pat and people like Ken and many others, they're just working so flat out that sometimes sharing the gospel is actually quite difficult. And yet that's what we want to do more than anything. So how do we do that? How do we make time for that? And I'm not saying I'm not going to come up with all the answers, but I am saying that over this term, this is what we want to be beginning to unpack. What does it mean? What does it mean to share the gospel thoughtfully into these situations? Jill?
We were just talking about how do you keep going as you get older? How do you have the energy to do something, to embrace all the new stuff that happens, to keep your family together, to meet people, just to keep going and not to just, you know, work, watch telly, eat, go to sleep, repeat.
I think sometimes these things are almost like, they're funny because it's so true. We have this extraordinary calling to be a sent people, and yet life just gets in the way. Well, how do we do it? How do we reach single parents with the gospel that never have a moment to themselves? Who can't go out in the evening, that don't fit into a church program? How do we do it? This term, we're just going to be praying that God would bring revelation to us, that we would be the people who are sent, that we know something of Jesus, and we're able to thoughtfully speak the gospel. It is, I remember years ago, in 2002, we went to France with some friends, and we were thinking about moving either to Bristol or to East Grinstead to go and plant a church. And the friends that we went with said, "What on earth are you doing? Why are you doing that? You've got a house in London and you're thinking of moving out of London. What are you doing? Once you're gone, it's very difficult to come back." And it was how I didn't really appreciate it at the time, to be.
And since they've moved out of
London. Yeah, to be totally honest. But do you know what? It was true. There was something about living in the environments around here. And I know not everybody's got a London postcode, you know, and you're just thinking, you know, Nithin and Priya in Boreham Wood, and it's an amazing place. And you're thinking, oh, well, maybe we just plant a church up in Boreham Wood. Be amazing. There are all these options, but I just think there is something about what God's call is over us to be a people in this part of London, and particularly North London, because it's probably the most unchurched part of London, I think. There are fewer churches around here than anywhere else in London. God's put the fire of the Spirit on us. Anyway, so let me just run through what we're going to do this term, if you can go through it. Next week, we've got Lucy Honeysett from, she's the lead coordinator of Christians in Care. So she was a nurse, she was a carer first, and then she was a nurse. But her job now is she wants to encourage anybody that works in the care industry. If you work in the care industry, bring any of your friends that work in the care industry, because she's just going to speak grace and truth and life and love into your life. She knows what it's like, and she's going to do something for it. The following week, the 21st of September, we've got Ian and Ruth Dowsett. Becca, do you want to just come up very quickly and tell me what they are doing in St. Petersbourne and why they're doing it?
St. Petersbourne is an old nunnery turned into like a community house in High Barnet, and they have a bunch of like 20-odd-year-old people who are kind of just starting moving in London, all that kind of stuff, that live in their community. And so they have like prayer meetings every week as a community. They have food together every week as a community. And so these guys are hosting that house and leading that house as their ministry.
Young people need homes, don't they? They need places to stay. And, you know, it's a really important part. How do you build family when your family is maybe in a different part of the world? How can you genuinely feel part of something? That's on the 21st. On the next week, we've got Richard Whiteman. Richard Whiteman headed up all of the customer-facing services of Network Rail. He was quite a big person within business. He then went on to lead a church in Milton Keynes. But he knows what it is to be in business, to actually have the bottom line of trying to make some money and actually making money. That's a good thing, you know, but how can you do that ethically and how can you do that really well? What are the pressures that are facing the business women and businessmen that are amongst us at the moment? The following week, on the 5th of October, we've got Jazz Potter. He's a really old friend of ours, but Jazz is an amazing speaker. Becca, can you come up and just tell us what Jazz is going to talk about building friendship?
Jazz is coming to talk about building friendship, how kind of what you were saying, Fikir, what an important thing about community is friendship. And we may know each other, but actually a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is if we're in community and we are friends together and we love one another in that way.
Brilliant. On the 12th of October, Becca, just to give you a little bit of warning, Joy Summers. On the 12th of October, On the 12th of October, Aaron Routledge is going to be coming. Aaron Routledge, many people would know him, he's part of the Message Trust, but he heads up the Message Trust in London, and they have an extraordinary work of reaching out to the marginalised and people who are really struggling. I went to a Bible study with a lot of ex-offenders in Covent Garden, and that's a coffee shop that is run by the Message, and it's an amazing place. But actually, there's a heart to reach out to many people across our nation. Those people are on the edges. Where does God often work? On the edges. He doesn't work often right in the middle, where you'd expect him to, right on the edges. Next one coming up on the 19th of October is Joy Summers.
Joy Summers came to our youth group last term, and it was such an amazing time that we really felt led to invite her to come and speak to us as a church community. She has lived in North Africa for over 10 years as a missionary, living in predominantly Muslim areas, so actually has lived life on the line as a Christian, being there, you know, speaking about God illegally and bringing Bibles and all this stuff. So she will bring some experience and a testimony of what God has done. But actually, for those of us who feel like London is where we are now, but eventually God is going to commission us and send us out of London to somewhere else, this is going to be an amazing Sunday for you to feel like God is speaking to you in that as well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. That's it, I think. Yeah. The 26th of October, we've got Johnny and Jenna Mellor. I didn't have a picture of both of them together. They're just amazing. You can tell he's artistic because of his haircut, okay? But he's a rap artist. But what he's done, he's created a collective of artists and musicians and just trying to encourage them to live faithfully and full on for Jesus in whatever area of creativity that they are involved in. It'll be a really great Sunday. On the 2nd of November, we've got Dr. Tim Jones. Tim, and let me just try and remember, Tim did his doctorate in, I don't know, some obscure aspect of theology, but he's I've known him for a long time. He's an amazing guy. He oversees a lot of the training down at Emmanuel Church in Brighton, that's correct, isn't it? So he does a lot of the training down there. He's just a really good guy, but he knows what it is to be in the academic world, and he knows what it is to be in education, and he knows some of the pressures and some of the difficult moments that you will have to face, the difficult sort of like issues of what you believe and standing up for what you believe in whole areas of academia and education. The 9th of November, we have sent into prison. We had to put the word in instead of to because they haven't been sent to prison. They've been sent into prison. Karis and Luke, and I work with them every single week. They are amazing people. Luke works for London City Mission in their prison like ministry, and Karis, his wife, works partly for the Pentonville Prison as a chaplain and partly for KXC Church down in London. They're just amazing people, full of love, but the calling to go and reach people whose actually lives are quite difficult and quite awkward at times. The 16th of November, most of those jobs are jobs that actually thinking, oh, I like my job. What happens if you just don't like your job? What happens if every morning you get up and you think, I just don't want to do this? And actually, it's probably for quite a few of us to do that. How can you shine for Jesus? How can you make your workplace an act of worship? Do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord. Even if it's just stacking shell or putting whatever it is, I don't know what it is, or just type data input, whatever it is, I don't know. But you might not actually like it. But maybe God's called you there to do something remarkable for him. Maybe. And that's, we're going to have a number of different people. What's that? Yeah, sorry, can I just say that's the only picture I could find online of Becca. This morning when I was doing, I think Becca Young. All right, okay. Yeah, she is in prison. Yeah, this is just before her release from prison. So Becca's going to talk about coming and baptizing people, bringing people through, you know, not just inquiring about God, but actually bringing people all the way through. And it will be a Sunday where we will have some baptisms themselves. And then the last one in our series on the 30th of November, we've got a guy called James Mildred, who is from CARE, Christian Action Research and Education. I don't know if you remember a guy called Jack Lawther who came a few months ago and came and preached. It's the same organisation, but James is going to come and talk about what it means to be involved in politics, but not only involved in politics, but what do we do with our politicians? How do we support our politicians? That's probably, very few people actually end up MPs or councillors or something like that. Every single one of us needs to be involved and engaged with our politicians. The decisions that we're making, the decisions that shape our land. That's the term. I would encourage you to, anybody that you know that would connect with any of these, invite your friends. Invite your friends, because our heart is that in all of these different areas, God will speak truth and grace and light that we might shine for Jesus. Can you stand up with me, please? Lord Jesus, we are hungry for you. Lord, you said, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And Lord, I thank you that when we come to you, not to a program, or not to a plan, or not to a strategy, but when we come to you, the living God, I thank you, Lord, that you satisfy our souls in you. Lord, I thank you that we may still need to face difficult moments. There may still be challenges. There may still be heartache and difficulty. But Lord, I thank you that you are the resurrected God. And I pray, Lord, that the hope that you've put within us, you would shape us to reach into our city, particularly this coming term. Would your anointing fall on us, that we'd be carriers of the kingdom. Carriers of the kingdom into every dark recess, into every meeting, to every conversation. God, that we would awaken a desire for you, O Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Come and anoint us right now, we pray. God, at the beginning of this term, we say, come and do something fresh in our midst. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus. Just in the quietness, respond in your heart to the Lord. And encourage you not just to stand thoughtlessly, but stand thoughtfully. What is the Lord speaking to you about now? Where is the Lord nudging you to respond in faith? How is he calling you to live your life differently? Come, Lord. Come, Lord.